We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Jason loves talking. I don't know about you, but Jason is a fan of Jason's show.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards heading up until 2 o'clock. We'll hear from Andy Reid later on this hour. Mick Schaefer as well. Let's talk some NFL football with our NFL insider from ESPN. It is Field Yates joining us here in the Zone on this Monday. Field, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
Jason, I'm doing well. How about you, my friend?
I am doing just fine, trying to kind of verbalize and put into one sort of box of what that game was for the Chiefs yesterday, in which
tell you what it was.
15.5 point favorites. They win the game and they cover. Yet it was kind of like underwhelming. What did you think it was?
Nah. This is what this was, Jason. This was at the end of the college football regular season. For those that are hardcore SEC fans, I know that you're in Big 12 country. But the SEC has this weird week, it's like week 12 of the college football season, mm-hmm. where all or at least a good chunk of their top teams don't play an SEC game. And instead, it's like Alabama goes from Ole Miss 1 week with the Iron Bowl 2 weeks later and Louisiana Lafayette in between.
Yeah, yep.
And it's just a reality. I'm sorry to say it, but the Rams with no Matthew Stafford, and no Cooper Kupp, and even no Allen Robinson, and some notable players on defense banged up, a bad offensive line. It's just understandable that the Chiefs' emotions yesterday were not going to be at the same level they'd be if it was Josh Allen or even the Rams with those guys healthy. It just wasn't going to be that kind of atmosphere. I'm not trying to excuse everything that took place on the field yesterday because there were some uncharacteristic plays, even from someone like Patrick Mahomes. But it's a long season, and I think that what's most important here is that even on a day in which you're nowhere near at your best, you can still win by multiple scores, mm-hmm. albeit against a bad team. But yesterday was a lull, and if nothing else, the Chiefs should be able to more than make up for it as far as energy is concerned this upcoming Sunday, because they might have the biggest game of their regular season being played in Cincinnati.
Absolutely, and to your point, Missouri went from Tennessee to New Mexico State to Arkansas.
You're picking up what I'm putting down. I forgot that Missouri is now in the SEC.
That's right.
All these conference changes, and soon enough, it's going to be like two conferences. There won't be any conferences. It'll just be like the Alabama Invitational,
right.
You know?
It'll be like the NFL. There's going to be an AFC and an NFC. And then there'll be divisions.
The Alabama Football Conference,
right.
And the not Alabama Football Conference.
Yes. Yeah.
Alabama. The Alabama and the NA. The NA and the A is what you got. Field Yates is our guest from ESPN. And so, yes, look, there is an element, Field, of, you know, we were talking about it to begin the show that I'm like, well, there was no anxiety. There were no nerves going into the game. And maybe that's where it's sort of underwhelming. The Chiefs went 0-for-3. Scoring a touchdown in their final three trips to the red zone, a couple of field goals and an interception, and it felt very underwhelming there. But boy, is there an element of, and I acknowledge it and acknowledged it then, of just sort of being spoiled with how good the Chiefs are, how good the offense is, what position they're in right now, being 9-2 in the number one seed, that, you know, covering the spread against a Rams team, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, is like, kind of okay. I don't know that I had a whole lot of fun watching the Chiefs play football. It's so spoiled.
I know, really. That's how it is, right? I mean, you look around the NFL right now. Heck, look at the division. I mean, mm-hmm. other teams, every other team in the division that they play in right now would do cartwheels to have a 16-point comfortable win, right? I mean, the Raiders win in overtime in this crazy game. The Chargers win on a 2-point conversion late in the game in which they were trailing to a then 4-7 Cardinals team. And then the Broncos continue to be the biggest embarrassment in the NFL right now, as they are now down to 14.27 points per game on offense.
Wow.
So there's no two ways about it. This the Chiefs, whatever you want to call it, era or the times that we are living in right now is not one to be taken for granted. And 16-point wins at home are all of a sudden being dismissed as ho-hum. That right there is the definition of a high society problem.
Yeah, and it goes back to, like, I think in 2020 when the Chiefs were winning all these close games, and it was like, man, sometimes you just want a boring game where you go out, you score the points, and you get out of there, and it's no nerves or anything. Just go and win the game. It's not close late. Just go and get the job done. And then they do it. It's like, I don't know. That was kind of ho-hum. Wasn't really nerve-wracking, whatever it might be. But the one reason why it didn't feel like the game was ever in doubt field, and whether it's Bryce Perkins, you know, no Cooper Kupp, and what's going on with the Rams offense, it didn't feel like the Rams would ever score enough to be able to be in the game and really give the Chiefs a test late. And Adam Teich, your colleague at ESPN that writes about the Chiefs and writes for ESPN, said that this is the best team that Andy Reid has had in Kansas City, and part of that is because of how good the defense is this year. Are you in agreement that the defense, what we're seeing from this Chiefs defense, whether that's Bryce Perkins or whoever else at quarterback, that's been a difference in how good this Chiefs team is, and being 9-2 and the number one seed and a pretty decent lead in the AFC West and the odds-on favorites to get the number one seed?
Well, that's a good question right there, and it's a good sort of hypothetical posed by Adam. Maybe I'm wrong here. It feels to me like the first year of the Patrick Mahomes experience was perhaps the most explosive and dynamic run that we've seen from the Chiefs. Maybe it's because it was new, right? And maybe that was the reason why we were talking about it in a specific vein at that time. But then they start like 11 and 10-2 or 10-1 or something. It was some ridiculous finish.
And that was when,
and
that was the year Mahomes had 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, and that was just the bursting onto the scene that, oh my gosh, this is different.
And then a couple of years ago, they had that start where they were 14-1, if I'm not mistaken. They lost to the Chargers in week 17, is when we still had only 17 games, but they won like every game close, right? It was like they kept like not covering the spread, so you're like, all right, they keep winning, that's impressive. They're 14-1, but it doesn't feel like quite as dominant of an effort. That's a good question, though. You know, and I think that the reality is that the Chiefs, evaluating the Chiefs rosters and sort of the team from top to bottom, is going to end up being more of a process of a results versus a process evaluation going forward. What I mean by that is that it's going to be easier for us to say this once the season is over, right? Because like they feel to me similar in terms of overall ability to other teams that have been a part of this great, this is, I guess, year five of this great five-year run. They kind of all, to me, feel like they were all very, 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 very good and capable of winning the Super Bowl. They've done it once, so it's easy to call that team the best, in my estimation. I guess, but I also thought, like, I just made the case for the team the year before that. You know what? My brain is now in a pretzel. I don't know. They're all really good. How's that for a thought?
Yes. I mean, the thing is, you win a Super Bowl in 2019, and the defense the second half of the season was a big reason why they did that and credited with doing that. And maybe it's because this defense has felt like it's been pretty good throughout most of the year and what the potential could be down the road, and then being able to put pressure on the quarterback actually this year as opposed to a year's past. But it's, I will say this, as the Chiefs get ready for the Bengals coming up on Sunday, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, but just as a quick aside to what we're discussing, last year against Cincinnati in the playoffs, the Chiefs defense at different times just looked slow and a step behind a new and fast offense with Chase and Higgins and Boyd and Burrow putting the ball where it needs to go, and Joe Mixon and that offense and the juice they were playing with. The defense just felt like it was a little slow. And at no point this year, Field, have I felt like this defense is slow. They're young and athletic. They fly around the field. And I think that may make a difference in terms of what the eye test maybe is, anecdotally, that the defense feels like it's better because they're so much more athletic and fast, and they cover the field the way that they do. And it's coming off a defense where you felt like was just old.
Interesting. The thing that I would say is that they do not look old to me. They do not look slow to me. I think the reality is, though, that the measuring stick for the Chiefs in probably every facet of the team is not going to be how they look against the competition that they have seen for the most part this season. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking away from the fact that they're 9-2, but there really aren't that many juggernauts. It's kind of a league this year where there are a handful of pretty good teams, a lot of teams that are just not very good this season because of disappointments like well, two of them in the Chiefs division, yeah. in the Broncos and also the Raiders. But I think like we'll have a better grip on whether the Chiefs defense has made decided steps forward as we get a snapshot of them this Sunday against Cincinnati, and we expect Jamar Chase to at least be back on the field in some capacity, and then in the playoffs, because like how do they look again against a team like maybe once again Cincinnati, maybe a team like Miami, who can probably run with anybody right now offensively, and the Bills, who obviously when those two teams play, that ends up being a much more defensive battle than we anticipated. Mm-hmm. But those are going to be the measuring sticks for the Chiefs, much more so than what we've seen in recent weeks. Some solid offenses like Jacksonville, but not exactly like a gangbusters offense that over the past month or so the Chiefs have had to try to slow down.
There's 6 weeks left in the NFL season, Field. Barring an injury, is Mahomes the MVP?
I think so. And the only, I guess there are a couple of ways in which it could not go in his favor. I think the most obvious one is if Philly goes 16-1 and Jalen Hurts keeps playing like he does, that's going to make for a very compelling case. That would be one way in which Patrick Mahomes would not win the MVP. And I suppose the only other would be if the Chiefs lose a few games down the stretch. Yeah. I do not expect. I think they're going to be very much in the mix for that top seed in the AFC. And then the last thing that I would note is I don't think we're anywhere close to this point yet, but just putting it out there is, you know, voter fatigue eventually sets in with these MVP votes. And this is a new system this year, though, which might actually work to Patrick's benefit. As I'm sure you're familiar with, but out there, people out there listening who may not know this, is that in the NFL's MVP vote, which is voted on by 50 members from the Associated Press, in every year prior to this year, you made one pick for MVP, so there were a total of 50 votes casted. This year, starting this year, they're doing ranked choice voting. So when you make your MVP ballots, you're going to have five players listed, which means that Patrick will probably be on every single ballot. The question is how many of them will he be number one, and do his points add up to win the trophy? Again, assuming no injury and assuming the Chiefs play how I expect them to play, I do believe he is the odds-on favorite, which is reflected in the sports books, as I saw this morning, he's still minus 230 as to win the MVP right now.
Yeah, he went from plus 900 to begin the season to the heavy favorite to win the MVP. Field Yates is our guest from ESPN. Before we talk about Cincinnati real quick, in the Bengals division, the Ravens end up losing to the Jags. And while, you know, that is an upset, and especially the way that it ended with the Ravens having a 9-point lead, they were only 3-point favorites in that game. So it wasn't like the Ravens went there as 9 or 10-point favorites and they ended up losing. It's a field goal game, essentially. Coming out of that game, do you take away more from the Ravens blowing a 9-point lead and the Jags scoring in the fourth quarter like they did? Or is that game more about the Jags to you?
Probably more about the Jags, but I do think it's fair to note that the Ravens have not scored 30 points since week three of the NFL season. This is a team that you would think would be able to put up points in bunches, and I hear that people will make the counterpoint of, well, who do they have for Lamar Jackson to throw to? But when have they ever had like a super dynamic passing offense? That has never been the strength. It's been the depth of their wide receiver room. And they just seem like they're in a funk right now. And they continue to win games prior to yesterday because they do have a good roster. They're extremely well coached. They're resilient. But I'll be curious what the rest of their regular season looks like. They play the Broncos this upcoming week, which you would expect to be a win. The Broncos obviously continue to be one of the embarrassments, as I said earlier on, of the league right now. But Baltimore's an interesting one because this is a team and they're probably one of, like, I don't know, three or four in the AFC, the Chiefs and Bills certainly being two others. I think the Bengals probably in this category as well, where making the playoffs is no longer the standard. It's how do you do in the playoffs? And for the Ravens, what they're missing is a deep postseason run with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. And if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, they're going to be Ravens fans who feel like it is a season that's gone by the wayside.
Visiting with Field Yates from ESPN. All right, let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend. Chiefs were asked about it after the game against the Rams, and probably because, you know, 16-point win, ho-hum, get out of there with a W, and then look ahead of the Bengals. But they were asked after the game about Cincinnati and about last year. What do you make of this matchup with Chiefs and Bengals Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, really, really, really good one. And we're going to latch on to, I think, deservedly so, the explosive playmakers on both sides of the ball offensively, or both teams offensively. But we were talking about the Chiefs' defense. Now they've kind of stepped up, even in not against necessarily the toughest schedule that they'll see in their lifetime. Well, Cincinnati's in that same category, as they have been so resilient and so tough on defense as well. A lot of the faces are familiar to Chiefs fans because it's a lot of the faces that were there last year when these two teams played, but can't wait to watch it. One thing that is so apparent is that you'll be hard-pressed to find two teams more confident right now than the Chiefs and Cincinnati. Cincinnati believes it can be anybody, anytime, anywhere, and the Chiefs have proved it for the most part. They can beat anybody, anytime, anywhere. So it's too bad that we have so many good games this weekend. This actually feels like, I would argue, the best regular season slate of the entire season, because you could just have this game on your TV for three straight hours and not change a channel and feel really good about watching that game start to finish.
Do you have maybe not even a score, because we don't know about Ja'Marr Chase this week, if he's going to play or not, but do you have a guess and a prediction as to who wins on Sunday there in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs do win. I think Ja'Marr Chase does play. This feels like a bit of a grinded out game, something like in the 24-20 type, as opposed to, you know, 35-31, which might have been what you'd expect last year when these two teams squared off.
All right, we'll see what happens. Field Yates from ESPN, NFL Insider. Field, you're the man. Really appreciate the time, as always, sir. Enjoy the football. We'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good, guys. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. There's Field Yates from ESPN. Grinded out game, more than anything, against the Bengals. And the crazy thing about Cincinnati this year, and we talked about it last week in just looking at the records for the remaining teams, or at least the schedule, I should say, for the remaining teams, and how tough those were for the candidates, the remaining schedule for the teams that are the candidates, that are the contenders in the AFC, if I'll eventually get that right one day. Tune in Wednesday when I get the wording right on that. That Cincinnati was really interesting because the teams that are ahead of them in the standings are the Chiefs, Dolphins, Titans, Ravens, Bills, and then that's it. They already played Miami this year, and they won. They played Tennessee last week. They play the Chiefs this week, and they end the season against Buffalo and Baltimore. So every single team, all five of the teams ahead of the Bengals, they play. Going into last week, they were going to play four of the five teams in front of them in the last 7 weeks of the season. They've already beaten Miami, and they've beaten Tennessee. You know, the control your own destiny type thing. And if they win on Sunday, they need the Chiefs to lose one more and then the Dolphins to lose one more, because then the Dolphins would have four losses. But then they would control their own destiny. If they win on Sunday, they need one more loss from the Chiefs so they don't still control their own destiny. But there's still a chance for the Bengals to be the number one seed. If they take care of business, they could be the number one seed. And no doubt they're looking at that this weekend, or fans are, you know, looking at that this weekend, because the schedule, two ways of looking at it, sets up to where, hey, you win those games, you're in prime position. Also, good luck winning all those games. Mm-hmm. They've already taken care of two of the five. So they're 2-0 with three games remaining. And by the way, those three games are all at home. Chiefs, Bills, and Baltimore all at home the rest of the way. They've got opportunities.
I just want to correct you on one thing. You said we're not sure if Ja'Marr Chase is going to play against the Chiefs this weekend. I'd like to just exclusively report myself that, of course, he's going to play against the Chiefs. I could have told you that the second he got hurt. I bet, you know what? Hey, Joe That's Mixon's right. also going to play. I don't know if he's going to play, but he's going to play.
I think Samaje Perine's better than Joe Mixon, so I'm really worried about Joe Mixon playing or not. If Joe Mixon plays, it's fine. I think they're a better offense when Samaje Perine's in there, quite frankly.
The Bengals have had good running backs, like a good running back duo my entire life, I think. It's just always been a couple guys. Oh, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is on my fantasy team now. Cool.
That's right. Yeah. No, I mean, if Joe Mixon plays, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm okay with him playing. I don't think he's all that good. But Ja'Marr Chase makes a difference because T. Higgins has been really good with Ja'Marr Chase. Not outside of one game when T. Higgins did not have all that many receiving yards in that game. But he was awesome against Tennessee yesterday. And now they got the Chiefs at home. Then they play the Browns at home with Deshaun Watson. Then they go to Tampa, go to New England, home for Buffalo, home for Baltimore. They have a rough schedule the rest of the way. Because Tampa's going to be trying to make the playoffs in, what would that be, week 15. They're going to be in Tampa, where Tampa's got the playoffs that they're still trying to make. And maybe Tom Brady's last year. I don't know. I kind of think this is the last year for Tom Brady. New England's going to be trying to make the playoffs when they go up there. That's always a tough place to play, you know,
or
Christmas
even if,
Eve.
Even if they're not in a good playoff spot, they'll just want to go out there and make you miserable for 3 hours.
Yes, right. In week 16. So you're coming down to, it's must-win time for some of these teams.
Yep.
And then Buffalo and Baltimore, those last two games at home, where Buffalo might be trying to get the number two seed or the number one seed, depending on. Chiefs lose one the rest of the way, and Baltimore's undefeated going into that game on January 2nd. The Chiefs drop one. Buffalo's looking at those last 2 weeks and saying, we control our own destiny. We win. We get the number one seed. So they have opportunities, but man, is their schedule a murderer's row. They would have earned it, would have absolutely earned it if they're in that position. And they've already got the loss to Baltimore. So they can't lose to Baltimore at the end of the season and have the same record, because Baltimore's already got the win against them earlier this season. So they've got to win against Baltimore just to even that up. But Baltimore also has a better divisional record right now than the Bengals do, since they're three of their four losses are in division against Pittsburgh, against Baltimore, and against Cleveland.
It's just amazing, and this kind of, I guess, puts it back under the, it's not, there's not the pressure on the Chiefs that there are against the Bengals this week. There is much more to be gained for Cincinnati, as you just laid out. But think about how crazy it is that the Chiefs might, not officially, but more or less, lock up the one seed with a month left in the season if they win this game on December 4th against the Bengals. At no point in the offseason, the preseason, in the first few weeks of the year, at no point did I think, oh yeah, not only will they be the one seed, they'll do it with plenty of cushion. It's in the year where rebuild was overstating it, reload might be fair, but certainly they were tinkering all offseason. And now look at where they're at. It's just ludicrous. It's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if Buffalo, so Buffalo's got New England on Thursday, right? That's the Thursday night game, is Buffalo in New England. And so certainly New England fans.
Say it with me, here. Kansas City. Let's go Patriots.
Let's go
Pats.
Sorry,
I couldn't. Yeah, Pats. Ooh, Pats easy. It's, hey, let's go Pat. We
let's
say
Pat.
All the time.
That's right.
Let's go Pat. Parentheses S this week. Okay,
big,
we're good.
Big weekend for all the Pats out there.
That's it. Okay, we got to figure it out.
So
a little more palatable for everybody.
That's right.
Hashtag MVPats.
And then Buffalo's got the Jets in Miami at home. Then they head to Chicago. Then they head to Cincinnati, and then home for New England. Buffalo is going to have to earn it if they end up with three losses.
Yep.
Then you see Miami that also has three losses right now. And Miami right now has the same record in the AFC as the Chiefs do, roughly. Miami's heading to San Francisco this week. 49er fans. So the Chiefs are playing the Bengals at the same time the 49ers are playing the Dolphins. 49er fans. Then they head to LA to face off against the Chargers. Then they head to Buffalo to play the Bills. Then they return home against Green Bay. Then they head to New England. Then they play the Jets at home. If Miami ends up with three losses, they would absolutely have earned it.
Yes.
When the next 3 weeks they play in San Francisco, in LA against the Chargers, and in Buffalo. The Miami Dolphins do. And they've already beaten the Bills once this year at home. So Buffalo's going to be looking at that and saying, probably need to win that game if they're going to feel good about winning the division, because then they would be at least a game behind, if you're looking at just winning out, or, you know, same record right now. The Dolphins win that game, they'd be a game up plus the tiebreaker, so you'd be two games behind if you're the Bills. These teams around the Chiefs are all playing each other. So losses have to happen with a number of these teams. While the Chiefs, when they are done with the Bengals, win or lose, have the easiest path to the end of the season.
Three games against the two worst teams in the conference, being the Texans once and Broncos twice.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
is that an Eric Bieniemy laugh, Beard?
As that was EB. As Field Yates points out,
that was my evil cackle at the Broncos.
We'll hear from Andy Reid on the other side. As Field Yates points out, this year, as opposed to all the years in the past of voting for MVP, everybody got one first place vote. And that's how you saw, like, unanimous first place winner. They got 50 votes or whatever. Now it's ranked choice. So you're going to go one through, like, three or one through five.
I think it's five.
Which is how the NBA does it.
Yeah, so one through five, and then you just add it up after that. And what's beautiful is a couple of years ago when people talked about the absurdity that Russell Wilson has never received an MVP vote, that in the year that they moved to ranked choice voting, he still will not receive an MVP vote.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Coach, you may be aware that you are top five in a poll of the most handsome coaches in the NFL.
That's what I'm talking about.
Did they underrate you?
I was wondering why I wasn't first.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This time tomorrow, the United States will be playing Iran in the win and advanced match in the World Cup. Portugal and Uruguay. Not Uruguay or Mayaguay. Uruguay versus Portugal coming up here in just a little bit. Andy Reid talking with the media. Definitely looking forward to the challenge of facing off against the Bengals. Andy Reid at the podium said he was happy with how his team battled through the week to get the win on Sunday.
I don't have any injuries to give you. The guys are coming in. I think we came out fairly healthy anyways. I thought it ended up being a good game for us, a good win for us. Coming off a big game, big AFC West game, and against the Chargers, and our guys powered through that in the week and Thanksgiving, the whole deal. So it was a good win to get. And then plus knowing that you've got the Bengals sitting right here up next. So our guys came in, they had good energy. I thought they fought all the way through the game. And I thought defensively we did a real nice job there. And I thought offensively, with the exception of some of the plays in the red zone, I thought it was a very productive game there. So, we've kind of put Sky in and we're trying to bring him along with the punt return stuff. But, he had a hiccup again yesterday. So we'll take that responsibility as a coaching staff. And, I was proud of him for stepping up and ended up with five receptions. He had one right after that. And he's a competitive kid and he was crushed after the other one. But that's my responsibility. So I take that and we'll see where we go forward here with the punt return. But I was proud of him. So anyways, with that, a good win to get. And we're obviously deep into Cincinnati. We've been working on them since early this morning. And we'll get ready for them going forward here. So anyways, with that, time's yours.
Hey, Coach, good afternoon. Hope you had a good night's sleep at least.
Yeah.
Hey, specifically to Sky Moore, you said we'll see where we go from there. And understanding that Kadarius Toney is still dealing with the hamstring, with Cole Hardman on injured reserve, how much do you see Justin Watson as your short-term fix until you're able to get those guys back?
Yeah, Justin, again, he looked like he caught the ball fairly easy back there and comfortable. We'll see. I haven't met with Tobe on it yet, but we'll see where we go moving forward with it. But he seemed to be a pretty good catcher back there.
So a couple of questions and comments about Sky Moore. He said twice, we'll see where we go moving forward with Sky Moore as the punt returner. He hasn't met with Dave Tobe yet about that. Justin Watson looked like he was comfortable catching the punt. I'm assuming we'll see where we go moving forward is we'll see where we go as to who the punt returner is going to be, not named Sky Moore moving forward. I don't think there really is much of a question at this point. So, you have Justin Watson back there until you get McCole Hardman or Kadarius Toney or whoever else that's your punt returner. the rest of the way. Andy Reid saying that special teams haven't quite lived up to the expectations this year, but hopes that they will improve.
Yeah, so we had the fake on us. This time is our second time we've had one, which is true, obviously. But we anticipated that happening and worked on it. It just, they got us. I think when you, one great learning place for the players, especially the young players, is to put them on special teams. And then you just continually progress and get better as the season goes on. There are going to be some early issues as we go here, and then you hope that it continues to pick up as we go forward. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Ronald Jones from yesterday's game. I know he didn't play a lot, but when he was in there, what's your thought about what he gave you?
Yeah, listen, I thought he ran hard. I think he had a lot of energy going, and was, everything was fast, it looked like, to him. But he was productive. He had some good, strong runs. He caught the ball well when he had the opportunity to do that, and had a big gain there. So, I thought for the first time coming in, I thought he did well.
I like the combination of the three guys of Pacheco, McKinnon, and Ronald Jones. I like what they bring to the table.
So. It felt a little juicy.
Yeah.
Juice-Y. There was some juice in that backfield yesterday.
Juice-Y.
Yeah.
Felt
a little juice-Y.
Okay, yeah. I liked it. And Ronald Jones even caught a pass.
He caught a pass.
Yards.
Pacheco caught a pass.
Right.
They let them run plays in a passing play with those guys on the field.
I thought for sure that when Ronald Jones came in, it's like you're going to have to run the ball here. Or you have a play in which Ronald Jones then goes out in a swing pass because you don't want to have a play where he needs to stay in and protect on a certain route, concept, whatever it might be. Andy Reid continuing along with the special teams and others involved in this team. Andy says he hopes Kadarius Toney returns sooner rather than later, but they won't push it because it's a hamstring.
So he's working hard at getting back, and we are being cautious with it. And we'll see how he does this week as we go forward with it. But we're going to try not to bring him back and then have any setbacks after that. We don't want to go through that. So we'll see. We'll just see how it goes. Probably Pete is probably, I'd tell you day to day, and we'll just see where he's at.
Let's go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Coach, I remember Frank telling us in training camp that you all are both LA boys, and y'all sat down and had a conversation at the end of last year that basically culminated to, we think you're a better player than what you put on tape. What have you seen him come in and do this year, especially with a new mindset?
Yeah, I think he's been on a mission to play well, and I think that's what's taking place. I mean, he's relentless, and he's got a great attitude. So I think he's back to the Frank that we saw in that first year, and maybe even a little better. But he's playing very well, I think.
I'll say this. He's playing well compared to what we saw the last couple of years. He's not a hole. Out of, 1 through 11, his position is not a just a huge negative on the field where, you don't need stud players across the board, but you can't have guys that are just bad to where you have clear deficiencies at a position. And that's what Frank Clark has been the last couple of years. So the fact that he's playing average football at defensive end seems like a huge step up in play just in general of what kind of impact he's making, because it was not that the last couple of years. It was bad the last couple of years. So just being, okay, he's been fine. It's like, oh, hey, look at Frank Clark. He's been fine. That's great, man. Have you seen how awesome Frank Clark's been? He's been totally fine.
Fine this year.
He's been totally fine.
Kadarius Toney day to day. I'm not ready to have this conversation. Those words still mean things to me day to day.
Well, his hamstring was healthy for a couple of weeks. as he said, I'm healthy. You guys don't know what you're talking about. A couple weeks later, you know, the hamstring tightened up a little bit. He didn't actually hurt. It was just tight. It was very tight hamstring. But because it's a hamstring, they want to be cautious. Don't want any setbacks when he returns from a hamstring that just got tight. I mean, we're seeing the it's so far early on through 3-4 weeks, it's been the full gambit. It feels like gambit.
That'll be a spell. Right? You can spell that next week or on gambit. Thursday for
What's a gambit?
You have the Queen's Gambit and you can run the gamut.
It's the character in X-Men.
Thank you. Maybe that's also good.
No, it's definitely the gamut that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, you can run the gamut. I think you could run a gamut or a gambit, though.
You could, but it's different in that, you know, the queen. It's a gamut. You know, but
the Queen's Gambit was actually on Hulu. It was a knockoff.
Queen's Gambit was really good on Netflix. Queen's Gambit on Hulu.
Paramount, actually.
Sucks.
So Gambit
Paramount Network, not even Paramount Plus.
Is the right. It's really hard to find. Gambit is the complete range or scope of something.
That's what I was trying to
the Gambit,
use.
Other than being a character from X-Men, this describes it as
I think
a
Channing
device.
Played him actually, Tatum.
Channing played him actually, Tatum.
Wow.
Look forward to hearing that one again in a few days. A device, action, or opening remark, typically one entailing a degree of risk.
Oh, like in chess.
I think it was Channing Tatum that played him in the X-Men movie, or in the Wolverine movie. There
well said,
go.
Beards.
Well, now we've run the entire gamut of all the different things that can be encompassed in this, but running the gamut of the high-level plays and difference-making ability on the field to, is he healthy this week? Is he going to be out there and play? Is it a hamstring? It's soft tissue injury. You know, he just might be the next Sammy Watkins that, you know, he can make plays when he's out there. But it's so early. It's early, but it's been kind of the theme of his career so far has been the soft tissue injuries.
Don't say that.
I'm just living in reality. That's all.
I don't want to live in reality. I want to live in a reality where Kadarius Toney's never hurt.
Well, look, the gambit that he ran the first couple weeks was awesome, that opening move for him.
I think that's the same reality where Sky Moore is the ideal punt returner for Dave Tobin and it works out.
God, that might be true. In that universe, I'd be really ready to throw down the gauntlet. What are gauntlets?
Gambits. Andy Reid continued and said that there are a few factors in why the special teams have hit some bumps in the road this year.
Yeah, I think, Saran, I think we're playing a number of young guys. You know, we're anticipating things to get better. We've gotten better in some areas, so we'll keep working through it. As far as the returner thing goes, I've been through that before. I'm not going to put that on Sky. We've asked him to learn that and go in there and do it. And you know, we gave him a second chance to do it and it didn't work out as well as we hoped, but, we'll figure it out and we'll get it right. And Dave, he's as good as there is. So we'll get things straightened out there.
On the subject of Sky Moore, I mean, obviously you feel like you know him pretty well when you go through the whole draft process and now had a chance to coach him and everything. He bounced back. You know, he seemed to really want to show the emotion. He had some good catches and everything. Do you know that that's how he'd bounce back? Is there a fear that, hey, if this gets out of hand, we could maybe lose this guy? He loses his confidence. Maybe it becomes a thing catching the ball. Did you have any fear on that front after you saw that punt go through his hands?
Well, listen, he was upset. At himself and so you never know. I mean, until you get the guy here, we'd heard that he was a competitive kid, but you don't know until you stick him in front of 70,000 people in the National Football League at the highest level that how they're going to respond. And so, you know, I was proud of him for stepping right up and going. I mean, he had some nice plays for us there.
It didn't seem like the emotions bothered him or affected him. It obviously bothered him in muffing the punt, but didn't affect him in which then that led to mistakes down the road later in the game, whereas he comes right back out the next possession in the second play, third play of that drive and makes the really good catch. He was open. Mahomes hit him. He had to reach up and grab it. Not an easy catch. He did that. Catches the other ones thrown his way outside of the one that was on a scramble and trying to ad lib, in which he threw it back and it went off the arms of Sky Moore. But he's been just fine as a wide receiver. He's been good as a wide receiver. I like what I've seen from that. Just don't put him back there returning punts. Andy Reid went into detail about Travis Kelce's catch and run for a touchdown on Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, the route was when he caught it and ran it, the route, it was what was drawn up after the catch. Now he came back across the field. So that was all him.
Let's go next to Harold Kuntz. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Andy, hope you're doing well. A couple of questions for you. One, not just Sky, but all the rookies, because, I mean, you're dealing with 10 of them from the jump. You know, as we get to the midpoint of the season here, how did you and the coach staff dealt with those conversations just with them, just to keep their confidence going, knowing that it's getting into the nitty gritty now and where it counts in November, December? And I'll have a follow up, Brad.
Yeah, so I've been real happy with their improvement on the offensive and defensive side, special teams with, you know, in most cases there. So I would just tell you that the things we've told them is just keep going, keep pushing forward. If there's a mistake in there, learn from it and let's get back on and go, and let's not have it, you know, shake your confidence in that area. So I think they've done a good job of that.
And also the follow-up I had for you, I know you mentioned the red zone offense, and I know part of that in the fourth quarter is just trying to run the ball and trying to make sure you just get time down. But is there anything else when you looked at the film that you identified that, okay, this isn't working in certain places that we needed to work on, and then this is also something we needed to improve on even more going forward?
Yeah, we needed to run it better and more accurate. And we had some issues there we've got to take care of, and whether it's the play or the call at that time or the actual blocking part of it. So we've got to tighten that up, because the defense that they're playing, they're giving you that opportunity to do that.
Interesting. Defenses they were playing down inside the goal to go situations inside the red zone were giving you the opportunity to run the ball, and they still weren't able to do that. So as he says, whether it was play call or blocking, need to execute better, need to run it better, and be more accurate. Not with passing the ball, be more accurate in running the ball. It's really really interesting. I wonder if he's talking about, you know, when he talks about the play calls, not necessarily, well, I should have had a better play call when it comes to the run, but the defenses they were showing were telling us there were opportunities to run it. But down inside the red zone, I believe the first two trips were all passing plays down inside the goal to go situation, not just red zone, but inside the 10-yard line. I believe it was 4, 5, 6, 7 passing plays in the first two trips to the red zone. Second trip was at the end of half. So, again, grain of salt with that one. But they were all passing plays. And then the next time out, it was the Pacheco for 1 yard, and then the trick play, and then the interception. So again, passing plays that they went back to. I wonder if part of that is what Andy Reid's talking about. And then when they actually did run it, were they showing the looks of allowing you the opportunity to run it? Because late in the game, it was, we know you're going to hand off and run down the clock, and we're going to play to just simply stop the run. And it didn't matter that they were playing to stop the run, because you were just trying to burn the clock anyway and just end the game. I don't know. That's Andy Reid and his coaching staff and the offensive linemen and Pacheco to figure out what the issues were down inside the 10-yard line and inability to run the ball. Outside of, you know, when they scored a touchdown, it was first and goal at the 3. They handed off and scored a touchdown.
Accuracy makes me wonder about Pacheco's role in that. Is it reading a gap, or what are his options there? I have no idea. Haven't looked at the film since the game yesterday, and Pacheco's explosiveness more than makes up for some rookie misreads, if that is the case. But you could probably point to several moving parts within that running game and say, hey, plenty of room to tinker and hopefully have it firing on all cylinders by late December.
After racking up another double-digit win, Andy Reid said he is proud of the track record, but knows that the work is not done.
Yeah, listen, it's an honor, first of all, to have an opportunity to coach here, just like it is for you guys to write about the Chiefs. I mean, it's a great place to be, and it's a great time. So the main thing is, when you're sitting in the seat I'm sitting in, is you got to keep winning, right? So you don't sit back and rest on those things, Matt. I mean, you've been around me, and I'm kind of, okay, that's great. Let's go on to the next one. And the next one ends up being the most important one. So that's where we're at. But I don't want to slight the fact that it's, you know, a lot of you guys are from Kansas City and proud of it. And so that's it's great to have a winning program.
There you go, Andy Reid getting ready for the Bengals. We'll hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and others on Wednesday. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You could have also gone.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping up this hour, we'll talk with Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 Sports Director. Learn funniest best coming up in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Get some more into the Chiefs and Rams, and then looking ahead already looking ahead to the Bengals coming up on Sunday. A big one. Very, very big game where the Chiefs are going to get the number one seed. Sunday will go a long way in doing that. It's a huge, huge weekend in the NFL. A lot of movement one way or another can happen on Sunday and Thursday night as well, with Bills and Patriots, or Dolphins. Either way, I think it's Bills Patriots on Thursday. A lot of movement going on in the NFL this weekend, including Chiefs and Bengals. We'll talk about Chiefs and Rams looking ahead, maybe some college football as well, with Mick Schaefer coming up next here in The Zone.